believe in the sweet spot, softcore pornography, opening your presents Christmas morning rather than Christmas Eve, and I believe in long, slow, deep, soft, wet kisses that last 3 days.
I'm gonna get laid. I'm gonna get laid.
Y'all ready for this?
She was beautiful. She was young. She was innocent. She was the greatest piece of ass I've ever had, and I've had them all over the world.
Wow. Aren't you something?
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You owe me for one jelly donut!
It's time for the coolest segment on the internet. Turned On with Tina Peake from Crusher Magazine.
I've got news for you. You are mine now. You belong to me.
Y'all ready for this?
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Thanks for joining me and welcome to this week's segment. Tonight I'll be talking with Julian Jorgensen of the band Rev Theory. Since the release of their first album, Truth is Currency, in 2005, Rev Theory have toured tirelessly, opening for the likes of Evanescence, Papa Roach, Buck Cherry, and Saliva, to name a few. And with the release of their sophomore album last year titled Light It Up, nothing much has changed. The band members, including power vocalist Rich Lutzi, guitarist Julian Jorgensen and Ricky Licks, bassist Matty McCluskey, and drummer Dave Agoglia, put on a live show that will blow your fucking minds. Having heard their music but never seeing them live until 3 weeks ago when they opened for Buck Cherry and Papa Roach, the only thing I kept thinking about when I saw them on stage was, holy crap, I would not want to be the band following these guys. Rev Theory are not only strong lyrically and tight musically, they put on a live show that rivals any band out there right now. Light It Up is so well written, so raw with energy and emotion that it leaves you thinking there's nothing left to give. But that analogy would be oh so wrong. These boys give and keep giving with their live performance, and by the end of the set, you'll leave soaked with sweat, satisfied that you finally saw a band worth the cover charge, and definitely wanting more. I abso-fucking-lutely love this band, and for those of you listening in, go out and buy their latest offering, Light It Up. You can find it on iTunes, and I promise you won't regret it. This band kicks ass in every way possible. So if they come to a city or town near you, you have to go see them. Rev Theory will make sure that you won't forget them. Following the interview with Julian, I will be featuring their latest single that is climbing the charts as I speak. It's called Far From Over. So stay tuned after the interview. And without further ado, here it is, my interview with Julian Jorgensen of Rev Theory.
Are you ready to do this?
I am ready to rock.
Right on, buddy. I'm not sure where to begin. I got to tell you, I saw you at the end of Canadian Music Week, and as I told you when I met you after the show, you guys blew me away with your live show. It was just incredible. So I've been dying to get you on my radio segment. So I have some questions. First of all, I wanted you to tell our listeners a little bit about your band, how you all met up, and how the band Rev Theory came to be.
Sure. Yeah. Well, we're a hard rock band. We actually are based out of New York City. We started there in 2002. But Dave, our drummer, Rich, our singer, and myself, we actually met in college in Boston in '97. And it's just been we've been together ever since, kind of rocking out.
And you had a debut album called Truth Is Currency, and from that you've done your sophomore album, and I was just wondering how the writing went for the second album as opposed to the first one that you released. How was it different, or was there anything different that you did with this one?
No, it was plenty different. I mean, the first record was primarily myself. At the time we had, basically we were working day jobs in New York, and the writing kind of primarily fell on my shoulders, as well a little bit with Matty, our bass player. And, when we put that record out, it was 2005, and we kind of all quit our jobs and hit the road and really kind of made this a lifetime commitment. For 2.5 years we toured off that first record and broke down a lot of doors and ended up getting a major label deal with Interscope Records. And You know, at that point when we went back to writing for the year, basically it was 2007, we started writing for the second record. And it was definitely more of a collaborative effort. It was more, you know, the genesis of the songs would come from myself and that. We would sort of work outwards, and there would be a lot more input from the rest of the members as far as, you know, especially including Rich, we'd work a lot more with him. And so the songs definitely were more collaborative sort of on the second record.
Cool. What is your favorite song on the second record? Do you have one?
I mean, my favorite song, I mean, I have obviously like an affinity to different, all the different songs, you know what I mean? Because a little piece of them is sort of a little piece of us, I guess. But I guess our favorite, my favorite song would be Broken Bones. I think it's kind of the most personal song to me in my life, I guess. And I think that's my favorite.
And why is it more personal to you, if you don't mind my asking?
Yeah, it was written, you know, my mom was sick, I'd written the song for her, kind of, and it's sort of an ode to her, and how I was feeling at the time when she was sick, and, you know, so it holds a personal meaning to me, and every night we play it, it's sort of an homage to her, and it's in memory of her, so it's kind of why it's the most personal song to me.
Understand that. Your live performances, I have to bring that up. I did see you guys perform live, and the first thing I thought of when you came on stage, people were, you know, talking. It was before you actually had hit the stage. As soon as you came out and the lights went down and the stage lights went on, you basically, it was like, we're here, shut the fuck up, listen to us, and watch us play. And that is exactly what happened. You immediately got the attention of everybody there. People were just freaking out to your music. It blew me away. No problem. How do you guys get ready for a live show, and what do you think makes your live shows different from, say, run-of-the-mill shows that are out there? Because I got to tell you, not all shows take me back like yours did.
Well, I appreciate it. I mean, I think, like, you know, we're from, you know, I'm actually not from the Northeast, but I've been there for long enough, and I think our band is we're a resilient type band. We've sort of built a thick skin up over the last 4 years of touring, and we've always been sort of, we're here and sort of, we're trying to get your attention. I mean, especially in the earlier days when people wouldn't listen, you know, we have, Richie's got that sort of, you know, fuck you, we'll make you listen type thing, and, you know, he's sort of an aggressive looking guy, and the band performs aggressively, and we've always been sort of high energy band, and we've always sort of made people take notice, even if there was five people in the room, and, you know, we always feel like we had something to prove, and I think we've carried that in, and it's kind of become the standard, it's become the norm, and, you know, we've toured with a lot of bands that just basically, they'll play their music, and they'll play it, and it'll sound great, but they just really couldn't give a fuck about the crowd as far as, like, putting on a show, and I think we try to pride ourselves in putting on a great show and trying to entertain people, and each one of us, you know, loves that part of what we do, and we sort of pride ourselves on it, and now that we've set that standard, it seems to be people are actually sort of taking notice, and they're appreciative of it, and that's kind of like when you get comments like yours, it definitely makes it all worthwhile, you know, and as far as, like, getting ready for the shows, it's just, you know, an hour before, we put on the mix, you know, we put a mix on every day, and whatever the songs may be, we change it up now, but, we just stretch and get on my space, do a lot of stretching, a lot of neck stretching, and, you know, a lot of warm-ups and stuff, and that's really, it's kind of getting the mental space for the show.
Great. You also have opened up for some pretty big names in the industry, people like Buck Cherry and Papa Roach. Who are the bands that you most enjoyed opening for, and who would you actually like to be on a bill with? Is there anybody in particular that you're kind of hoping you'd like to play with or be on stage with?
Oh, totally. I mean, there's a lot of really cool bands that we toured with. You know, we played with bands like, we looked up to a lot of these bands when we first started. I mean, we were, you know, in college, kind of looking up to bands like Seven Dust and Stained, and you know, you looking up to these bands, and most recently Avenged Sevenfold, and it's like you get to actually play with these bands, and it's like an unbelievable feeling, and, you know, it's almost like you're being accepted by your peers, and that feeling of being in this particular fraternity. before is just like, it's definitely like a surreal feeling, you know? And as far as bands that we would love to tour with, I mean, there's still some other ones probably, like, I mean, I'd love to tour with the Foo Fighters. I mean, I think they're incredible, and I think Dave Grohl is kind of like the man, and I think everybody in sort of has a secret man crush on that guy, you know? You know, I think in the world probably, and I'd like to tour with sort of Linkin Park, and then some of the bands that we heard, like there's some rumblings of Soundgarden getting back together, and, you know, that would be a really cool tour, or, you know, something like that. We would have loved to tour with STP or AC/DC or something, but I think first and foremost, I'd love to tour with the Foo Fighters.
I noticed that you have a lot of dates coming up this month of April and also in May. It takes you right across the board from, you know, Kansas to Canada. Tell me about those tours, and are you also going to be on any festivals this summer that you know of?
Yeah, we're actually, festival season starting up. You know, we're doing a lot of festivals, basically, like Rock Fest is a big festival in Kansas City. We've been there a couple times, and it's 50,000 strong, and we actually got the main stage this year, so we're really excited about that. And then we actually have Rock on the Range, which is another huge festival. And they actually do Rock on the Range in Canada, so we're doing one in Columbus, Ohio, which is a two-day event with sort of everyone from Slipknot to Korn to Avenged Sevenfold, Motley Crue, which is this huge two-day lineup of, like, you know, 40,000-50,000 people for 2 days. And then there's the Rock on the Range. They have one up in Winnipeg. They actually branched out, and they're doing it up there as well. So this is, like, prime festival season, and we like love festivals because we get to basically just be fans of music and play our set, and there's a lot of people, and then we get to kind of just chill and watch all the other bands, so we're really excited about that. And then as far as like our touring, we're basically just busy. We're going to be busy all the way through the summer, into the fall, and we're doing Avenged Sevenfold dates right now with Papa Roach and Buck Cherry, and that'll go until the 18th of April, and then we have the Papa Roach, Buck Cherry up in Canada, and then we have a bunch of festivals kind of sprinkled in between, and then we should be announcing some summer touring plans like within the next few weeks.
Very cool. If people want to check your band out, tell me some of your sites, your website, your MySpace site. Do you know them?
Yeah, totally. Well, MySpace.com/RevTheory is probably the most beneficial site. It offers, like, the best information. And then, obviously, RevTheory.com is available. And then you can also YouTube RevTheory, any live stuff, any of the footage. But YouTube and MySpace have the most up-to-date. We upload a lot of footage. Like, you know, if we have a Kite phone, which is an uploadable camera phone that you can literally, like, take camera stuff and upload it that second or whatever, so we're always trying to keep up to date stuff, so definitely check those sites out.
The one thing I have to say that really kind of threw me off when I saw you guys is long after the show was over, long after bands were packed up and probably Buck Cherry and Papa Roach were having beers and whiskey on their tour buses, you guys were still outside of the front of the venue with boxes in hand and still trying to meet and greet the people one-on-one and sell your CDs. Is this a conscious effort that you have made to try and connect more with the fans?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we're a blue-collar band, and we've been working our asses off. That's kind of how we got here. We literally have been selling our CDs right after our set, right after the show. Anytime they let us sell them, we'll sell them. And, you know, we toured with Evanescence one time, and they took us to Europe, and we actually didn't have the money to get back. So we had a certain amount of CDs we had to sell over in Europe in order to actually get a plane ticket back. So it's like we've always done it, and it's just part of kind of what we do, and now it's turned into sort of an accessible, you know, Richie gets out there and everyone's really accessible, everyone's kind of really shaking hands and selling CDs, and I feel like it gives a real personal feeling, you know, people really get to know you and take ownership of the band, and that's something we've prided ourselves on since the very beginning, and now that we're on a major, we haven't stopped it, you know, we just kind of kept it going because we felt like it's been real beneficial for us. I don't think we're going to stop, you know, unless it gets, like, out of control because it's starting to get a little crazy.
Right.
But unless it gets too crazy, I think we'll keep doing it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it really did surprise me. I knew that you were on Interscope, and I was very surprised. that even though you were signed to a major label, you guys were still out there selling your own CDs, and you just don't see that very often anymore. I find that once bands are signed to a larger label, they kind of leave it up to the label, and they don't really partake maybe as often or as much as they should, and I just thought it was so refreshing that you guys made yourselves so accessible to everyone.
Yeah, so, no, I appreciate it. No, it definitely has an effect on people, and, mm-hmm. you know, I think we're our best promotional tool. I mean, as people, I mean, the thing is that we're both confident in the music, and, you know, we understand that the industry's, like, kind of in shambles, and things aren't easy anymore. You know, we're not going to let, you know, we're not just going to sort of stand by the wayside. We just kind of, you know, again, it's like kind of that Northeast attitude. We'll take the reins, and we're putting all the work in because we want to make sure that we do everything possible in order to succeed. You know, we don't want to let something else fall, you know, distribution or this or radio's not doing this or it's not doing that. It's like, well, we feel like we're that good that we want to keep touring. So if the label's like, well, we can't keep you guys out there, we'll say, well, you know what? Fuck that, we're going to sell our own CDs in order to sort of pay for the gas. And that's because we feel like, you know, at the end of the day, like, the show will sort of overcome all, and like, that's what's going to infect people. Meeting people's going to infect people. All that stuff is, if we keep at it, if we keep grinding, if we keep working, like, at some point, something's going to give. And it's like, that's been our sort of overall mentality since we started.
Yeah, I got to say, I've seen a lot of live music, and you know, quite often people do surprise me, and a lot of times concerts are amazing. The Crew Fest concert that I saw last summer was kick-ass. Linkin Park last summer was kick-ass. But it's not too often that I see a lesser-known band, I'm talking not the big-name Motley Crue-type bands, where they come out and give up that kind of performance. You truly, instantaneously made me a fan. I wasn't that familiar with your music before, but I sure as hell am now. And I just cannot see how anyone else can't see what I see, because to me, a live show is everything. You could go to 100 concerts in a year, but if their live show doesn't kick ass, you're just not getting it done, and your live show speaks volumes.
Wow, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I mean, a lot. I mean, I know you've seen a lot of big bands, so it's definitely awesome. Thanks.
Yeah, you guys really blew me away, and that was one of the biggest reasons why I wanted you on my show, because I love the music, and just visually seeing you on stage, and the lead singer, his voice is very strong, very powerful. The whole band, it's just like a power band. It just comes out and bites you right in the ass, and I loved it. I loved it.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. You're deserving of it. So kudos to you guys for all your hard work. Just wanted to ask you, so who were some of your influences musically growing up, whether it be guitarists or vocalists, whoever? Who influenced you the most growing up?
I mean, I'm a pretty eclectic guy. You know, I have a real, like, sort of wide sort of array of stuff. And, you know, I grew up listening to my dad. I used to listen to The Doors and stuff. I used to love Jim Morrison when I was a kid. You know, I went and saw the movie, like, 6 times or something in the theaters. And, you know, there's stuff like that that had, like, a profound impact on me as a kid. And then, you know, I was really into U2, and I still am. And, I mean, obviously, I just think they're great. And there were bands like Radiohead that came along, and Smashing Pumpkins in the early 90s that I think really sort of like touched me, I think. You know, so there's different eras of my sort of my childhood into my young adult sort of life where, you know, Nine Inch Nails and that's a band that sort of stuck with me, and Trent Reznor has kind of affected me. You know, and it, obviously it was affected a lot by sort of the early 90s era. That's when I started playing music. So, you know, I learned the guitar, learning sort of Alice in Chains riffs, and, you know, I loved SVP and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, Pearl Jam, those bands affected me. So it's like, it's just a mixture of this sort of bunch of different things and sort of the love for all music, you know, but just sort of like the passion in those type of bands and the vision in those type of bands is something that's what I look for, and that's kind of what affected me. And then at a core, I think our band has, like, you know, we love GNR, you know, I think we dug Motley Crue, you know, everyone sort of had a passion for AC/DC and, like, these sort of, like, you know, just rock bands, straight up rock bands. I think that's what we try to model ourselves after. Is it's just like a straight up high energy sort of kick your ass rock band, because that's our sort of similar core, you know.
Right.
Then those other things are sort of my personal things, you know. But that's that. Yeah.
Talk about the new single that you guys are now releasing that's being played now on radio called Far From Over. What made you decide to use that song as the next single, and can you tell me a bit about that song? Because I think we're going to be playing that after our interview.
Yeah, Far From Over, I mean, that's a song that Matt and myself, we sort of came up with the idea, and basically it's sort of the closest thing to sort of what I think the band was. You know, we were not struggling with an identity crisis at all when we were making this record, but, you know, we were leaning a little bit rock and roll in some of the songs, and I think we were drawing from our more sort of core influences. And I think that, like I was saying, AC/DC, the Motley Crue's and Guns N' Roses, and I think that Far From Over draws more from a little bit of more of the emotional side of what we were doing in Revelation Theory on the first record.
Right.
And I think it's a little more, like I said, a little more emotive, and I think that you know, the subject matter is a little deeper. It's just sort of an innocence lost, innocence gained type thing, never give up type song, and you know, it sort of has a lot more meaning. I think it's probably my favorite heaviest song on the record, and we were psyched that the label liked it, you know, because we were doing Hell Yeah, we were doing Light It Up, and the fact that everyone was kind of stoked on Far From Over, we were really happy to hear that. So we got a chance to actually release it as a single. We were pumped.
I also wanted to bring up one thing that you just mentioned, because your band name initially was Revelation Theory, and then you shortened it to Rev Theory.
Right.
What? So now I'm going to ask you, what was the theory behind that?
Right. Nice joke.
Kind of segued into that one, eh?
The simple thing was that the fans that knew us as Revelation Theory would call us Rev Theory. So it was kind of like a shortened, abbreviated thing. A lot of people were messing the name up. You know, they were calling us Revolution Theory, and people just kind of couldn't get it right. So we just kind of made it short and sweet, and we also added a new guitar player, and like I said, we kind of like expanded on our sound on the second record. I think we, you know, it's a little more dynamic, it's a little more rock and roll, so we felt like there was a little bit, you know, there was a little bit different of a face as far as like the band goes, so we wanted a fresh start, and we decided to just kind of make it Rev Theory, and I think that it's a lot easier to chant Rev Theory than it is to chant Revelation Theory, so.
Sure enough. Julian, I can't thank you enough for your time today. Is there anything that I didn't ask you or anything you want to promote or get out before we end?
No, just call the radio stations and for Far From Over. And I know, I think we're doing Favorite Disease is going to be released up in Canada. So we're doing two different singles as well. We're doing For Disease and Far From Over, which means they'll both be accessible to the radio stations and the public, which we're really excited about. As well, just go to the record store and pick up Light It Up or get it on iTunes.
Do you have any messages for your fans?
Just keep coming to the shows, because I think, you know, if we come through, I think, you know, we're going to hopefully have the same effect that we had, kind of, I guess, on you, that we have on, have on everybody. That would be amazing, you know, so just keep coming out and supporting us, and come meet us, come say hi.
Definitely. Julian, thank you so much for your time today. It was really sweet that you took this much time with me. Best of luck with the album, with your career. I will definitely be following you guys closely, and maybe we'll have to do something for Crusher Magazine one of these days soon.
Let's do it, for sure. Anything you need, just let us know, and for sure, we'll stay in touch. And where are you based out of?
Well, the magazine's based out of New York, and I'm just outside of Toronto, Canada.
Oh, okay, so you're in Ontario?
Yes.
Well, I'm actually from Vancouver. Yeah. I'm the only Canadian in the band, so.
Are you really? Now, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm a Canuck. I'm from Vancouver.
Right on, buddy. I love it. I love it. See, I picked the right guy to interview. This is it. Canadians have to stay together. There's not a whole lot of us, you know?
That's right.
Population-wise, right? California has as many people as all of Canada, so it's kind of cool that you're Canadian. I did not know that. That's very interesting. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I'm the brunt of some jokes. I'm the brunt of a lot of the jokes, and, but, you know, I feel like I'm also, you know, a little bit of the secret weapon, you know, as far as, like, you know, Canadians, they make fun of us, but, you know, we got a little something going on, I think, that they don't know about, you know?
Yeah. Do you get a lot of these A comments?
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, good one, real original.
Definitely, I hear you on that one. Yeah. Okay, Julian, you're a doll, and best of luck. I hope I get to see you guys again. You really blew me away. I sincerely mean that, and I will definitely come back out and check you guys when you come back this way.
Awesome, thank you so much, Dan. I appreciate it.
All right, have a good time.
All right, have a good day.
Bye, you too.
Bye.